It's Saturday, November 3rd, 2018, from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shelvin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news from the beginning of the 11th month of 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Bleeding Cool. Dark Horse Comics receives major investment from Chinese firm Vanguard Visionary Associates. Dark Horse Comics, the largest comic book publisher owned by one sole individual, Mike Richardson, is to receive a major investment from the Chinese firm Vanguard Visionary Associates based in Hong Kong. The plan is for Dark Horse to be able to fully finance the development of movies and TV shows based on comics that Dark Horse publishes and create new ideas as well, and sell their comic books and merchandise lines internationally, especially in China. And Vanguard Visionary Associates Chairman Stanley Zhong joining the board of Dark Horse. This follows the likes of comic book publisher Boom having a large investment in return for equity from Fox Studios and Netflix buying Miller World outright, and Valiant's investment from a Chinese firm that later turned into an outright buyout, and IDW setting up as a company that makes TV shows like Winona Earp and Dirk Gently. However, Dark Horse is bigger and longer established than any of them, publishing everything from Sin City to The Mask to Concrete to Aliens. Also in the news on Sunday from the bookseller, Secret Civil Servant published with headline, Anonymous Civil Servant's Hilarious and Horrifying Account of Government Amid Brexit Chaos, republished by Headline in March 2019, a few weeks before Britain is due to leave the EU. From Playbill, the drama bookshop to close doors in 2019, the 100-year-old performing arts bookstore is reportedly looking to relocate after facing a steep rent increase. From The Hollywood Reporter, Gotham Group and Chariot Entertainment optioned Muslim YA novel Internment. The book from New York Times bestselling author Samira Ahmed is set to be published in March 2019. From InfoDocket, research article, Format Shift, Information Behavior and User Experience in the Academic eBook Environment. This article seeks to understand information behavior in the context of academic eBook user experience shaped by a disparate set of vendor platforms licensed by libraries. And finally on Sunday from LitHub, What It Means to Write About Motherhood, Part 2, with Kim Brooks, Ruman Alam, Sheila Hedy, Megan O'Connell, and Jessica Friedman.
Monday.
Top story from Publishers Weekly, CBC presents inaugural Diversity Awards. The Children's Book Council Diversity Committee presented its inaugural CBC Diversity Achievement Awards last night to a 7-book industry professionals at a ceremony held at the Center in New York City. This year's winners are tour publicist Saracia J. Fennell for her work organizing the Bronx Book Festival and the Bronx Reading Literacy Program, Penguin Books for Young Readers President and Publisher Jennifer Loya, who was unable to attend the event, for her support of diversity at PYR Imprints, Lee & Low Books publisher Jason Lowe for his leadership in publishing multicultural books and sponsoring the groundbreaking Diversity Baseline Study. Winners also included literary agent at Galt & Zacher Literary Beth Phelan for her work reaching out to diverse authors and launching #DVPIT, a Twitter pitch event for marginalized authors and books with minority characters. Crown Books for Young Readers VP and co-publisher Phoebe Ye for her pioneering work publishing minority authors. And We Need Diverse Books founder and author Ellen O, and WNDB COO and author Danielle Clayton for their work launching and institutionalizing the We Need Diverse Books movement. Also in the news on Monday from the bookseller, books to outperform retail market this Christmas. The relatively modest price point of books suggests the sector could perform solidly this Christmas, analysts predict, with publishers handling a strong lineup across the market. From the National Science Foundation, NSF announces $78.2 million to support frontiers of cybersecurity and privacy research. $10 million, 5-year award for Frontier Center Headline's portfolio of 225 new projects focused on secure cyberspace research. From the New York Times, Tozaki Shange, who wrote For Color Girls, is dead at 70. Only 27 years old when For Color Girls opened at the Booth Theater in 1976, Ms. Shange was a Broadway rarity on two counts. She was black and she was a woman. But her unconventional play was a hit and nominated for a Tony Award. A series of searing feminist monologues for 7 black female characters named for the colors of the rainbow, Ms. Shange herself played the Lady in Orange, and inspired generations of playwrights coming up behind her. And finally, on Monday from LitHub, are you misusing these common words? On the rules of usage, you might be breaking. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are eligible for a free audiobook from Audible. Choose from over 180,000 titles by just going to audibletrial.com/AS21 and signing up for free Get your first month for free, which means you get that credit for your first audiobook for free. This past week, I started the week reading What Happened by Hillary Clinton. Then I jumped into the world of fiction with Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut, followed by You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, and now I've finished the week by reading Swing Time by Zadie Smith. All possible by listening to audiobooks. What Happened, in fact, was read by the author Hillary Clinton herself. Slaughterhouse-Five was read by actor Ethan Hawke. It's amazing what you can get with audiobooks, the type of performances you can have. Plus, it also helps with hearing pronunciation when you hear an audiobook performer actually read these words to you. But the experience of reading is taken to another level by listening to an audiobook, and you're able to get so much more done. I've read over 80 books so far this year. You could do that too by going to Audible today, signing up, choosing from 180,000 titles, and once you download that first audiobook, it is yours forever. And not just audiobooks, but you also have access to Audible Originals, their award-winning podcast series. So check it out today, audibletrial.com/AS21, and you will enjoy it. Now back to the show.
Tuesday.
Top story from the bookseller, library petition hits 20,000 signatures after rallying support. J.K. Rowling's endorsement of a petition fighting to protect libraries by ring-fencing government funding has prompted an additional 10,000 signatures to be added in just 4 days. Other prominent authors who have added their voices in support include Neil Gaiman, Philip Pullman, Mallory Blackman, and Joanne Harris. The petition launched earlier this month by Frances Belbin puts responsibility for library closures at the government's door and describes the solution of volunteer-run library services as unsustainable long-term. The solution, it asserts, is that government must ring-fence funding to ensure councils can fulfill their statutory duty to keep library services available to the general public. Currently at over 25,000 signatures and continuing to gain traction, the government will now have to respond to the petition. According to the petition webpage, organizers are expecting a response within the next 3 days. Should it garner more than 100,000 signatures before March 24th next year, the petition would have to be considered for debate in Parliament. Library campaigner Ian Antis called the escalation in support spurred on by the best-selling writers a dream and said it gave libraries hope. Also in the news on Tuesday from Digiday, to grow subscribers, the Wall Street Journal focuses on product testing. While the journal has weighed radical changes for subscribers, such as getting rid of ads, Peter Gray's optimization team focuses on product changes that could be implemented as quickly and cheaply as possible, like the copy in existing marketing messages, their placement, and design. Of the adjustments that improved outcomes by more than 4%, over two-thirds involved text or design. From Vox, Twitter's rumored killing of the like button highlights its misplaced priorities. As Twitter continues to grapple with an ongoing ideological crisis, the company has repeatedly come in for criticism that it fails to take tonally appropriate action in response to problems on its platform. This week, another round of such criticism has greeted a report that the company may be removing the popular like button from tweets at some point in the future. From The Conversation, Australian Literature's Legacies of Cultural Appropriation. Non-Indigenous Australian writers face a dilemma. On the one hand, they can risk writing about Aboriginal people and culture and getting it wrong. On the other, they can avoid writing about Aboriginal culture and characters, but by doing so, erase Aboriginality from the story they tell. From The Washington Post, Mama Bear Knows Best, The Enduring Problem with Children's Picture Books. While it's relatively and thankfully easy to find books that defy restrictive gender roles for the protagonist's children, it's trickier to find books that show parents themselves defying these norms. And finally, on Tuesday, from LitHub, Why Contemporary Art and Literature Needs More Sarcastic Critics, Cesar Ira thinks we should use a bit more whatever in art.
Wednesday.
Top story from the bookseller, W.H. Smith buys U.S. airport travel retailer InMotion. W.H. Smith has agreed to buy travel retailer InMotion for $198 million. InMotion is a retailer of digital accessories in U.S. airports, and W.H. Smith said the purchase would allow a scalable platform to launch the retailer's airport format to the U.S., the world's largest travel retail market for news, books, and convenience products. Established in 1998, InMotion has a concession portfolio of 114 stores across 43 airports in the United States, with a presence in 22 of the top 25 busiest U.S. airports. The purchase doubles the size of W.H. Smith's international travel business, the company said. W.H. Smith Group Chief Executive Stephen Clark said, InMotion is a highly successful pure-play travel retailer in the world's largest travel retail market. The acquisition of InMotion is an exciting value creation opportunity for the WH Smith Group and marks a major step in our international travel retail growth strategy. It doubles the size of our international travel business and provides us with attractive growth opportunities. From InfoDocket, a new resource for ebooks in the public domain, Gutenberg Prototype officially launches. Gutenberg is a collaborative, open-source, community-curating, and publishing highly usable and attractive ebooks in the public domain. Our books are free to use by anyone for any purpose. They contain detailed metadata and are accessible in a wide variety of formats. From the books that are winners of the inaugural Women's Poets Prize revealed, Clara Collison, Anita Potti, and Nina Mangayan-Poles have won the inaugural Women's Poets Prize, celebrating poetry and the empowerment of women. From Entertainment Weekly, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, to be teased in graphic novel prequel, Legendary Comics is going big with its build-up for the release of director Michael Dougherty's Godzilla, King of the Monsters, out May 31st, 2019. The publisher announced today that next spring it will be releasing what amounts to a graphic novel teaser for the monster movie called Godzilla Aftershock, written by Arvid Nelson with art by Drew Edward Johnson. And finally on Wednesday from LitHub, Literary Hoax is the most underappreciated genre. From James McPherson to Lee Israel to J.T. Leroy, it's all good.
Thursday.
Top story from Quartz. Police are using artificial intelligence to spot written lies. Computer scientists from Cardiff University and Charles III University of Madrid developed a tool called Veripol, specifically to focus on robbery reports. In their paper published in the journal Knowledge-Based Systems earlier this year, they describe how they trained a machine learning model on more than 1,000 police robbery reports from Spanish national police, including those that were known to be false. A pilot study in Murcia and Malaga in June 2017 found that once Veripol identified a report as having a high probability of being false, 83% of these cases were closed after the claimants faced further questioning. In total, 64 false reports were detected in 1 week. Veripol works by using algorithms to identify the various features in a statement, including all adjectives, verbs, and punctuation marks, and then picking up on the patterns in false reports. According to a Cardiff University statement, false robbery reports are more likely to be shorter, focused on the stolen property rather than the robbery itself, have few details about the attacker or the robbery, and lack witnesses. Taken together, these sound like common sense characteristics that humans could recognize, but the AI proved more effective at unemotionally scanning reports and identifying patterns, at least compared to historical data. Typically, just 12.14 false reports are detected by police in a week in June in Malaga and 3.33 in Murcia. Also in the news on Thursday from the Book Center, Universal Credit threatens to drive working-class writers for profession, warns SOA. The Society of Authors has warned MPs that Universal Credit could silence working-class writers, impeding diversity in publishing and making it harder to attract different types of readers. From Deadline, Michael Lewis's latest book, The Fifth Risk, acquired by the Obamas under their Netflix production deal. The Fifth Risk, which hit shelves on October 2nd from W.W. Norton, follows the chaos and mismanagement that ensued in the Departments of Energy, Agriculture, and Commerce in the handoff from President Barack Obama to President Donald Trump. From the Library at Harvard, exempting Harvard's librarian scholars from the work-for-hire doctrine. As of this announcement, Harvard Library states that it does not consider works written by librarians or library staff to be works for hire under copyright law, where the works are scholarly articles, written principally on non-work time, and written outside the scope of employment. When these conditions are met, Harvard librarians and library staff will own the copyrights in these works, just as faculty owns the copyright in their works. From LitHub, Reading Across America, the longest-running series in Queens, Richard Jeffrey Newman on community building open mics. And finally, on Thursday, from Business Insider, 21 books Goldman Sachs execs think everyone should read this fall. Goldman Sachs has published its fourth annual fall reading list. The recommendations from Goldman Sachs leaders include everything from inquiries on rural America, the guides on setting company culture, to a novel about a young woman who returns to her native Nigeria. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by PhotoLemur, great photos automatically. The world's first fully automated photo enhancer that makes all your images great automatically with the help of artificial intelligence. Buy now for a time-limited offer. Don't miss a deal, 30% off between now and November 6th. Get your copy of PhotoLemur 3, and you'll be saying, wow, that was easy. Who says you need loads of free time and expensive software to perfect your images? PhotoLemur does all the heavy lifting, so you can spend more time having photo-worthy adventures. Click on the link in the show notes or go to audio.as21.com and click on the link there and save on PhotoLemur today, and boy, your pictures will look pretty.
Friday.
Top story from Iowa Public Radio. Donations pour into Northwest Iowa Library after man burns LGBTQ books. Following up on a story from last week, a Northwest Iowa library has been inundated with donations from in and outside the state after a man burned several LGBTQ children's books during a gay pride festival. In a Facebook Live video from almost 2 weeks ago, Paul Dorr with the religious group Rescue the Perishing stood outside of the Prairie Winds Event Center about a mile away from the Orange City Public Library and read aloud from four LGBTQ children's books before tossing them into a barrel of fire. He called the books filthy, disgusting, and shameful. Since then, the library has received donations of at least 100 books from people around the country. Most are copies of the books Dorr burned. The library has also received a couple hundred dollars in monetary donations. Library officials wouldn't comment on what course of action they'll take with Dorr beyond following their overdue books policy. Library policy says books can be checked out for 3 weeks with two renewals. After that, patrons start to accrue fines of 10 cents per day. The Orange City Police Department says an investigation into the incident is ongoing. Also in the news on Friday, from the bookseller, the Reading Agency urges for £200 million government intervention and book relief. Reading can help halt the loneliness epidemic, but needs a £200 million government injection, as well as its own version of sport relief, according to a newly published report. Meanwhile, the Reading Agency, which commissioned the report, has unveiled an inaugural program, Reading Friends, to empower older people to coincide with the report's findings. From Biz Journals, Amazon opens country's second four-star store in the Denver area. The Seattle-based retailer store will only carry products consumers have rated 4 stars or higher. From Entertainment Weekly, Oprah Winfrey, Reese Witherspoon, and more to moderate Michelle Obama book tour. The former FLOTUS will be embarking on a nationwide tour this November to promote the publication of her memoir, Becoming, one of the year's most anticipated titles. But she's putting on the kinds of events more typical of A-list comedians and iconic musicians, taking over venues which hold tens of thousands of people, including the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, the final stop. Safe to say, the level of interest isn't enough for your local Barnes & Noble to accommodate. From InfoDocket, Freedom House releases Freedom on the Net Report 2018, The Rise of Digital Authoritarianism. Internet freedom declines for 8th consecutive year. Freedom on the Net is a comprehensive study of internet freedom in 65 countries around the globe, covering 87% of the world's internet users. It tracks improvements and declines in internet freedom conditions each year. The countries included in the study are selected to represent diverse geographical regions and regime types. In-depth reports on each country can be found at www.freedomonthenet.org. From The Cut, why are we only talking about mom books by white women? The Paris Review listed 21 authors of books about motherhood, including one man, but conspicuously absent from the list was a single person of color. From Electric Literature, the global ratio of sexism in children's literature, for every smart, brave, adventurous fictional heroine, the author must supply 1,618 boys. And finally, on Friday from LitHub, the weirdos of Russian literature, on the foibles of genius from Tolstoy to Akhmatova.
Saturday.
Top story from The Guardian. As Poet Laureate prepares to step down, the succession race begins. Carol Ann Duffy ends Sincerity, her last collection as UK's Poet Laureate, with a peaceful image of retirement. The poet looking up from the hill at Moniac to see my breath seek its rightful place with the stars, with everyone else who breathes. But the search for her replacement begins this Saturday with the announcement of a panel of experts to guide the selection. The steering group assembles the great and the good of the poetry world, from the director of the Poetry Society to the artistic director of the Ledbury Poetry Festival, with space alongside for the leading lights of the literary establishment. The Society of Authors chief executive Nicola Solomon, who is also serving on the panel, welcomed the opening up of a process that's been shrouded in mystery since James I offered Ben Jonson a pension of 100 marks, declaring the Society very pleased to be part of a panel made up of representatives from across the arts sector, covering a range of ages, backgrounds, and UK regions. Also in the news on Saturday from Haaretz, Israel bars entry to Palestinian-American writer because she didn't coordinate her arrival. Israeli authorities say Susan Abahawa has told every future entry would have to be arranged in advance. After she was barred from entering in 2015, Abahawa was planning to attend a literary festival in the West Bank. From UNESCO, journalist safety is a challenge to democracy, says UNESCO, ahead of International Day of Impunity for Crimes Against Journalists. Last year, the percentage of journalists murdered in countries free of armed conflicts, 55%, exceeded that of journalists felled in conflict zones for the first time. Impunity for these crimes remains shockingly high, as only 1 out of 10 such killings was brought to trial. From Global Voices, a project in Nepal is documenting and sharing testimonials from the 10-year armed conflict. The Nepalese Civil War, known popularly as the Mayans Conflict, was a bloody 10-year armed conflict between the Communist Party of Nepal and the government of Nepal, which saw forced disappearances, rape, torture, death, and the displacement of thousands of Nepalese citizens. To ensure that the victims of this violence won't be forgotten, an online multimedia project called Memory, Truth, and Justice is documenting, archiving, and sharing personal stories of survivors and families of the victims who were lost to the conflict. From the bookseller, League of Laureates joined forces to mark two decades of role. A tour of former children's laureates and a celebratory anthology are just some of the plans being put together to mark next year's 20th anniversary of the Waterstone Children's Laureate role. And finally on Saturday, from Latin American Literature Today, the long overdue recognition of Mexicanic science fiction at this year's Worldcon 76. The Mexicanic Initiative, comprised of around 50 writers and authors of science fiction, fantasy, and horror, attended the 76th World Science Fiction Convention in San Jose this summer. Stephen Tobin chronicles his experience there and the importance of the initiative. We have three listener submissions this week. First up, from Quartz, Amazon's own published books are quietly taking over the site. Amazon is not just a fast, efficient, ubiquitous online bookseller. For the last decade, it has also been a bookmaker. Last year, Amazon Publishing put out 1,552 books across its 15 imprints. Its imprint, Amazon Crossing, translates more fiction than any other U.S. publisher. 36 of its authors have reached 1 million readers. Amazon! From the Chronicle of Higher Education, academic ethics should scholars avoid citing the work of awful people. A recent essay in the Chronicle by Nikki Usher, an associate professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University, posed the question starkly, do we still keep citing the scholarship of serial harassers and sexists? Within their institutions, they may finally get the fate due to them or not, but their citational legacy will live on, sometimes even in the form of pro forma citations that reviewers expect to see in the manuscript and ask for if they don't. And finally, closing out the week from The Atlantic, how to write consent in romance novels. The genre has historically offered up plot lines that range from uncomfortable moments of pursuit to no's that imply yes. One author discusses her decision to go about it differently. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by
DC PodFest 2018 is coming up on November 9th and 10th at Spaces the Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. DC PodFest is a two-day event held each fall where podcasters from around the world gather to learn, network, and express their passion for podcasting. Friday night, it's a VIP session where you get to meet all of the presenters. Then Saturday, it's a day full of panel discussions plus one-on-one sessions with me, Keith Shovlin of AS21 Media. Sign up today at dcpodfest.com. Tickets are still available. And then come on down to Spaces the Artisphere in the Rawson neighborhood of Arlington on November 9th and 10th. And power to the podcast. That's dcpodfest.com.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 Computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 27th of October. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, The Reckoning by John Grisham. Hardcover fiction number 1, The Reckoning by John Grisham. Paperback trade fiction number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Killing the Essays by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Killing the Essays by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young adult hardcover number 1, The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. And from Publishers Weekly, sales for the week ending the 21st of October supplied by NPD Books and top 10 overall number 1, The Reckoning by John Grisham. Top hardcover front list fiction number 1, The Reckoning by John Grisham. Top hardcover front list non-fiction number 1, Cook Like a Pro by Ina Garten. Top trade paper front list number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Top mass market front list number 1, Fall from Grace by Danielle Steele. Top children's front list fiction number 1, Kingdom of Ash by Sarah J. Maas. I've got nothing funny to say, but I implore you to vote on Tuesday. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the Home Report. This past week we announced the upcoming release of Miller Rounding Third by Tommy Reynolds, a novel following the family's multi-generational interaction on the baseball diamond and in American history. Visit news.as21.com for more information. AS21 merchandise is now available on tpublic.com. The Director Garment Retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the news store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/stores/AS21-market. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, and at least one of you out there did. Thank you very much. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also, take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing, leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much, leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. Unlike other podcasts, we are able to take constructive criticism. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. Late Tuesday, History of the Symphony returned as host Evan Tucker released the next lesson from his class at Grace Methodist Church in Baltimore. Find History of the Symphony on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts at audio.as21.com. On Wednesday, the lovely ladies of Two Girls, One Joint were back discussing the phenomenon of sending nude pics. Find Two Girls, One Joint on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts at audio.as21.com. Friday night was First Friday at Walden Books in Washington, D.C. as we once again sponsored Literary Game Night. Coming out to Parkview each month as we play some literary-focused games with the community, visit wallsandbooksdc.com for more information. In the week ahead, we'll be announcing AS21's best-selling author and title for the month of October. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. On Monday, AS21's thoughtful commentators Ian Roberts and Joshua Silberman will be back with the world's only podcast. Find out what headlines they'll be discussing and share your own thoughts on the podcast Facebook page. Find the world's only podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Tuesday is Election Day in the United States. All 435 members of the House of Representatives are on the ballot, as well as 1/3 of the Senate, numerous governorships, and state representatives. Head on out to your local polling place and let your voice be heard. Wednesday is the 7th, and the next chapter of the Publish Me podcast, as Paul, Rana, and I announce winners of Paul's Facebook contest and feature author interviews recorded at the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Arts Fair in Charlottesville, Virginia, as part of our celebration of NaNoWriMo 2018. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else you get your podcasts, at audio.as21.com. Friday night, a footnote episode of Publish Me will be released as we feature author interviews throughout the month. Friday and Saturday is DC PodFest, bringing together podcast experts from around the region to share editing, marketing, and performance tips. Tickets are still available for Saturday's full conference in Spaces the Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. I'll be there offering one-on-one sessions throughout Saturday. Visit dcpodfest.com for more information and power to the podcast. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?